everybody. Welcome to Season 2 of Great Minds, People and Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Brenna Kinsey, Chief People Officer of Advertising Week and Emerald. My guest today is Melanie Desire, founder of Desired Outcomes. Melanie made the bold choice to leave behind a high-visibility, high-paying executive role to follow her passion. In doing so, she embraced a completely new path, and I'm excited to dive into the journey that led her to this decision. We'll talk about the challenges, the rewards, and what it really takes to step away from corporate success and build something truly aligned with your purpose. Hi, Melanie. Welcome.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Nice to have you. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Let's jump right into your story. Can you share with us the reason behind your decision to leave a successful executive position to pursue something completely different?
Absolutely. My decision at the end of the day was burnout and not really being plugged into my purpose. That's the short story. Long story, I was a 20 plus year senior executive in financial services, and I worked for several large banks. My subject matter expertise is in internal audit and risk management. And I was successful. I had a good career. I enjoyed the people that I worked with, but I felt like something was missing. I just couldn't put my finger on it. Like, there was this feeling of unhappiness, and I kept saying to myself, like, why am I unhappy, and why do I feel unfulfilled? And so I realized that I don't know what my purpose is. I'm here, I'm doing this thing, kind of just existing, but I feel like there's something else out there. I tried so many different things. I spent like 10 years seeking that thing. So I was like, okay, I like to write. Let me take some creative writing courses. Maybe I'll write a book. I love interior decorating. I'll get certified in that. And it just wasn't clicking. And so I ended up taking a role in a really toxic environment. And that's what really made me wake up. I was working 16-hour days. It was a very unsupporting environment. My staff was unhappy. I was unhappy. I was waking up in the middle of the night with anxiety attacks, mentally, physically, just really, really struggling. And I realized that, you know, I don't have anybody to talk to about this. I'm burned out. I could talk to like my therapist. I talked to my executive coach, but I couldn't talk to my peers because it's kind of taboo to say this is hard or to say I'm struggling. Once you become a senior executive, you're supposed to have it all together. You've made it, you know, you're here. What are you unhappy about? You've reached the heights everyone wants to reach. And so I got to the point where I realized that I needed to take a step away. And it was a really, really hard decision. I felt really guilty. I felt like I was leaving my team. I felt like I was really kind of taking advantage of an opportunity that a lot of people don't have. That made me feel guilty. People were getting laid off, and here I am contemplating walking away from a successful career. But ultimately, I had to do what I knew I needed to do. And so I decided to take a gap year. And it was really hard. It was amazing, but initially, it was really hard because I was used to running 100 miles an hour and I don't have anything to do. I stepped away from my job without any plan. I said, I'm just going to exist for at least 6 months. And I had to learn how to just be. I had to learn who I was, kind of like all over again. So it was an interesting journey. I did all the things I didn't get to do. I enrolled in the Culinary Institute of Pinterest and started cooking a lot. I traveled. I went to many different places, you know, really reconnected with family and friends. That was really important to me because I was really neglecting them during that time. And a couple people told me, you know, you need to share your experience with others. There's so many people out there who feel the same way you do. And I'm like, what, me? I'm an introvert. You want me to share this with people? And they're like, yeah, put it on social media. And I was like, oh my God, no. But I realized if I'm taking this gap year, then I really need to take advantage of it and do all the things that are scary or don't come naturally to me. And so I typed up a post and put it on LinkedIn, and I literally sent it and covered my eyes like, like it's out there in the atmosphere. And it was so well received. I received so many people saying, that's me. Thank you for talking about this.
What did the post say?
The post really talked about my journey. You know, I really talked about the fact that I was burned out and everything that I've really been kind of telling you in a more succinct way. But I shared that I was burned out and that I decided to take a gap year, and I was in the midst of it. And so I was kind of like, this is me reinventing myself and that it's okay. You know, I just want people to know it's okay. And I got a lot of people inboxing me asking, can we talk? And I was having those conversations. In the midst of those conversations, I realized I'm coaching people. Like, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. Like, it finally clicked for me.
And that clicked because you put yourself out there. You did something that was uncomfortable for you outside of, you know, you mentioned even during your executive roles, you took some passion courses, whether that was in writing or creative, just to try to figure out what your passion and your purpose could be. And then you took that gap year and then you did something even more uncomfortable, which is to put yourself out there, show your vulnerability. Was your intention when you posted that on LinkedIn just to feel validated that other people had the same experience? What was the intention behind the LinkedIn post to begin with?
Honestly, the fact that it scared me to do it, that was the intention. I wanted to put myself out there and do something differently. I mean, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, right? And so I really didn't expect the response at all. I just said, I'm going to share. And also there was a bit of worrying about what other people thought about this decision that I made, and almost a little bit of shame, like, oh my gosh, I had to take time away. Once I'd been off for long enough to disconnect from all of that noise that was coming from really myself and, you know, others in my career, I was able to realize that, no, I did something really brave. I walked away from something that was a guaranteed situation to walk into the unknown. And I knew that if I didn't turn off all the noise from my career, that I was never going to like really connect with myself and what I really needed in life. And so I didn't have any expectations from that post. I just threw it out there to the universe.
That's amazing. And what you received was not just only support, but an opportunity for you to guide and talk to other people in the same situation as you.
It absolutely did. It let others know that it was okay and that you're not the only one. Really, that was, you know, part of my theme. And now that you said that, you asked about validation, there probably was a little bit of that, you know, do other people feel the way that I do? And it came back to me. It just poured in like, yes, this is me. It made me feel a little sad, though, because I wished that in my last role before I walked away, that people would have been more open about what they were struggling with so we could have supported each other. It just made you feel like you were by yourself. But after I sent that post, so many of my old colleagues reached out to me and said, oh my God, I felt the same way. I didn't know, not you. As a matter of fact, one of my colleagues from a previous company reached out to me. And he said, I'm taking a gap year as well. I went through the same thing. Let's connect. And so we jumped on a call and he said, I could not believe that you felt that way. Like, not Melanie. She's always so polished and poised and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, as you can see, we put on the corporate armor or the facade to get through what we need to get through. And out of that conversation, we did a podcast for a while because we wanted to share what we had been through and to further let people know that they weren't alone.
That's amazing. So then this idea of, hey, I can actually coach people comes out of this post. And then where do you go from there? And I also want to touch on this. You mentioned seeing family and friends, and how does your support system look like even before you took this leap of faith? What was that conversation like with your partner, with your family, saying, I'm leaving this career that I basically spent my entire lifetime building, that I know I'm also good at because I know your Hogan background and your assessment. So I know that the career that you had was the one that actually aligned with your skills. What was that conversation at home? And did you get support for it right away?
Absolutely. My husband, my son, my family members were super supportive, thank goodness. I didn't have anyone give me a negative response at all. They were curious to know what I was going to do and what that looked like. But not one person said to me, what are you doing? Like, are you crazy? Like, why would you do this? More than anything, I think they were relieved because they knew how hard I worked, because I wasn't present, because they knew I was unhappy and had been searching for a long time. And then there were people who were just like, what took you so long? I knew all along that you should have been a coach. My executive coach told me that in the beginning of our relationship. So the support was amazing, thank goodness. I think it would have been a bit harder if I had anyone being negative or saying something negative to me. But at the same time, I think once you make a decision, and you know that you know that you know that you need a change, it doesn't matter what other people think. You move past that stage pretty quickly.
And then you decide to launch your executive coaching brand. What does that look like? What are some of the obstacles you faced early on?
Launching my brand was interesting. The first and the biggest challenge for me was realizing that I was programmed. And that I was living out someone else's program, or I was living out what I was told that I should do versus what do I really want to do, or what are my passions and what is my purpose? I think a lot of that comes from generational issues. Like, for example, I'm Gen X. We were raised by baby boomers. Baby boomers were raised by parents who kind of grew up in the Depression. And it was all about survival and take care of your family. And the baby boomers kind of poured that into us. And so I was told, go out and find a job and make money, provide for your family. I was never, ever told, figure out what you love and do that. That wasn't even on the table. Not even my like guidance counselors in high school or anything like that. Success meant you were making a lot of money. And so that's what I did. I decided, well, I'm good in accounting. You know, I can be a CPA. That's something that would provide me with a good living. That's the only reason why I did that. So that was my programming. Once I stepped away and had a chance to like reconnect with who I was, that didn't mean that the career wasn't something that I enjoyed. I just realized it was time for me to transition into something else. And so from there, it really took me believing in myself and recognizing that people wanted to hear my voice. I started posting on LinkedIn and just sharing little snippets of like leadership topics and tools. And I got really, really good response from them. And it was kind of surprising to me because I had been a leader for so long. These were just things that were innate to me. But when I shared a post that says, you know, you need to advocate for yourself, and people were like, oh, you know, a light bulb went off, I realized, oh, okay, my voice, like people really need to hear these things. So believing in myself, the other challenge was just being a newcomer in the space. Once you are a senior executive, you've established yourself. You know, your name means something, your brand means something. Okay, here I am new to this space and who am I? You know, I kind of felt like I had to like reestablish myself all over again. But really I didn't, because I was starting over, but I had so much of a foundation. It wasn't like I was 18 going off to college. I had life experience. I had career experience. You know, I was a subject matter expert in leadership. So I had to really kind of connect the dots and recognize what I was bringing to the table and that I really did already have a brand. I educated myself. I went back to school. I got my certification in executive coaching. And then networking with other coaches and entrepreneurs, that was huge. Really putting myself in the arena where I wanted to be and plugging in and pouring into people and having them pour into me. That was huge.
How was that for someone who is a self-identified introvert to have to put yourself out there to start networking and trying to get your name out in a different capacity?
I had to be really intentional. I've always been an introvert, but I know how to turn it on when I need to. And so I really had to push myself because I wasn't tied to a company. I was building my own company. And it's a lot different. I never had to kill what I ate. You know, it was always given to me on a platter, like, hey, here's your next client. So to have to really sell myself and always be in that mindset, it took practice for me to do that. I'd never been in sales, you know. So that was definitely challenging as an introvert. But I think when it's your company and you're the face of your company, the more you do it, the more comfortable you become. And now it's just kind of like second nature to me.
When did you start your company? Like, how long has it been since the first growing pains to now being comfortable and feeling like it's your second nature?
It was officially a year in September. So it's been about a year and a month.
Congrats.
Thank you. And it's second nature, but I'm still growing, you know, like I'm still getting comfortable. I feel like every day there's some new challenge as an entrepreneur that I never had to deal with. You know, I'm every aspect of my business. My hand has to be in every aspect of the business. Whereas before, you know, I was siloed. I was an audit executive over this particular area. And then we had all these different support partners. Well, I'm the support. I didn't have an admin to give this to or things to delegate to people. And so that, you know, was pretty challenging. But I have gotten to the point where I'm comfortable enough to be uncomfortable, if that's a thing, you know, and I'm learning every day. So I'm enjoying the ride so far.
Love that. And how has this career shift impacted other areas of your life, personal relationships, your sense of purpose, and just overall happiness? Like, of course, this was a lot of hard work. It was a leap of faith. You took chances. You took some risks. 1 year in, what's the look back look like for you?
It's like night and day as it relates to my happiness. I feel so much more in control of my fate now. My personal relationships, especially with my family and my friends, I'm much more plugged in. People would not call me because they didn't want to bother me because I was always busy. They knew I wasn't going to be able to attend, so they didn't invite me anymore. And you start feeling the distance in your relationships. And I'd put those things on the back burner for so long, I kind of lost sight a bit of what was really, really important. And I was so deep and embedded, entrenched in what I was doing. I don't think I realized that I wasn't being intentional about maintaining those relationships. And I didn't realize that there is a world where you can be happy and fulfilled in your career and also happy and fulfilled in your personal life. So I'm now living a life that makes me happy. And I love that I'm able to help others, you know, find their happy as well. So it's been a great transition.
Tell us a little bit about the services you provide and clients you work with and what your value add is to any corporation or even on a personal level to people.
Yeah. So I provide executive coaching services, like one-on-one coaching and group coaching. Also, like facilitate leadership development. So I'm a leadership consultant as well. I provide bespoke training for companies. So, you know, if they're looking for leadership training or training, you know, in a lot of different areas, then I will build training and present that based on what the needs of the company are. But really, my sweet spot is helping people become better leaders, helping people become more self-aware and really plug into their strengths and identify, you know, where they have weaknesses and where they need to kind of shore those up. So I love working with people. I love helping people just become better.
And what advice do you have for someone who is in a high-level position but feels unfulfilled and unsure about making a change? And that change doesn't have to be leaving the corporate environment and doing your own thing, right? Like, that's not for everybody. That change could mean making changes in the corporate structure or the companies you pick or even the roles that you lead on. What is your advice for them?
I'm so glad you said that the change, you know, isn't necessarily leaving your company or leaving your corporate environment. That's the place where I was in my career at that moment. It was time for me to shift and focus and do something a little differently. The time could come when I decide to go back to corporate and find something that kind of marries all of the pieces of the puzzle that I have now. So yeah, the shift could be, you know, something as simple as deciding that you want to move to a different department, or like you said, changing a corporate structure, something of that nature. But for someone who does feel that they need to make a change, and let's say it's a career change, for example, I think the first thing I would say is don't limit yourself to a career decision you made at 18. A lot of us decided to go away to college and major in XYZ, and that's where you are. And here you are 20 years later, and you've done well in that thing, but you're not that 18-year-old anymore. And your thoughts, desires, needs, wants, interests may have changed. And so it's okay if you decide that you want to make a change or you want to find something different. And it also may not be that that change needs to come within your career. You may just supplement that with a hobby outside of work. You know, like I said, I would have tried interior decorating and that would have been my thing on the side and I would have been happy. And so there are other ways that you can kind of bring those interests in as well. Really listen to yourself. Don't ignore your heart, mind, your body, your soul, what it's telling you. If you are constantly not feeling well or not being plugged in or you can't sleep, you're anxious, your body's trying to tell you something. And so you have to kind of be plugged in and in tune with yourself to realize that, hey, something's going on here. Be authentic and find your purpose. Like I said, I was programmed to live a certain way or to do a certain thing. I wasn't being authentic anymore because it was time for me to kind of plug into something else. Believe in yourself and invest in yourself. I was at a point where I was kind of in a scarcity mentality. I'm thinking like this salary is the be all end all. You know what I mean? Like if I step away from this, and I know that's a struggle, you know, for most people when they're thinking about making a change, you know, rightfully so, we have to eat. So I was really kind of tied to that thought process. And I felt like getting that paycheck from them was what was sustaining me. But guess what? I had other resources that were mine. That paycheck could have been taken away at any time. This is mine. And so instead of worrying about them paying me, I started paying myself. I started investing in myself. And that really changed the game, just kind of, you know, changed that thinking for me. And investing in yourself, you know, with money, but also with time. We put ourselves on the back burner so much. I know when you're done with the day and you're tired and after you've done everything you need to do, but if you just take 1 hour out of every day or maybe 3 hours out of every week and invest time into researching, you know, the other things that you love or researching or figuring out what that next step is, it'll totally pay off. So especially as women too, we put ourselves on the back burner. We take care of everyone. We're nurturers. Take care of everyone before we take care of ourselves. And so at some point, you have to put yourself first. I mean, who else is going to do it if you won't?
I love that. How does your current work allow you to help others? And what impact are you hoping to make? And I ask this question based on what you just shared with us, because it seems like you care deeply about people not only finding their purpose, but also making time for their own growth, of their own development. And that's something that most people, even in a corporate setting, don't take the time to do. They don't take the time to invest in leadership coaching or executive coaching to get better at something that they're doing because they're just so busy. How is your work helping people?
I have the privilege of helping leaders become better versions of themselves every day. I count that as an absolute privilege. In my work as an executive coach, one of the first things we do is an assessment. So you mentioned the Hogan assessment is one of the assessments that I use where you really find out more about your personality and where you might have some blind spots in your personality, where your strengths and weaknesses are. And then I'll do 360 reviews and talk to the folks, you know, who know you best. And that first step is helping that person be more self-aware. Once you're self-aware, you can realize where you need to spend more time and energy. And that, I think that's one of the biggest challenges that people face. They think the way that I land on people or the way that I lead or the way that I show up is positive. And in a lot of ways, it probably is, but you might be missing out on the ways that you derail yourself or your relationships. And so I get the privilege of helping people realize, you know, where those areas are and then helping them work to get better at those areas and ultimately be happier in what they're doing.
Thank you for that. And as we wrap up, if you could sum up your experience for the past year and a half, maybe 2 years, including your gap year, what was your biggest lesson learned that you'd want to pass on to the listeners or a lesson you learned now that you wish you knew 2 years ago?
A couple of things, if I may. I know this sounds cliche, but life is too short to be unhappy. It really is. The thing that really solidified my decision that it was time to move on was one of my coworkers passed away. I had just spoken with that person the week before. They had just gotten promoted, and I was reaching out to say, hey, happy to, you know, help you get transitioned, you know, call me anytime. And literally the next week, they didn't dial into a big meeting where we expected them to be and later found out that that person had passed away. That was an eye-opener for me, and it made me realize that, you know, tomorrow is not promised. You hear that all the time, but that's really, really true. And there was a meme that was going around social media that said, if you were gone tomorrow, the only people that would remember how much time you put in at work are your family. I think that's really, really profound. So life is too short to be unhappy. Make sure that you're spending your time and your days wisely. Start ugly. I'm a perfectionist. And so every time I got ready to do something new in my business, I wanted it to be perfect, but make it good. And there's different iterations you can get to better, but start ugly. Don't let anything hold you back from just putting it out there and getting started. And then lastly, life is like a poem. Like, what's your next verse? You can reinvent yourself at any time. So just get started.
Love that. I love the start ugly part. I love that so much. Start ugly. I love it. Thank you so much. How can people find you and connect with you?
Yes, you can reach me at desiredoutcomes.com and also on social media as Desired Outcomes Coaching and on LinkedIn as Melanie Desire.
Thank you so much, Melanie. Pleasure to have you. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thanks for having me.